writes James and John and what they wanted, as Yvonne brings our reading from the Bible.
Okay, the reading this morning is taken from Mark and chapter 10, the request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "there's something we want you to do for us." "What is it?" Jesus asked them. They answered, "When you sit on your throne in the glorious kingdom, we want you to let us sit with you, one at your right and one at your left." Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup of suffering that I must drink? Can you be baptized in the way that I must be baptized?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink the cup I must drink and be baptized in the way I must be baptized. But I do not have the right to choose who will sit at my right and my left. It is God who will give these places to those for whom he has prepared them." When the other disciples heard about it, they became angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all together to him and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the heathen have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it is among you. If one of you wants to be great, you must be the servant of the rest. And if one of you wants to be first, you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life to redeem many people." This is the word of the Lord.
And now Hannah's going to come and help us to understand some of that. We've got a talk in two parts this morning.
So we just had a little quiz about some singers who wanted it all. And in our passage, James and John want to sit at the right and left-hand sides of Jesus, who is their king. Now, to illustrate this, I have primed Grace and Ben to understand what it means to sit at the right and left-hand side of a king. So if I can have one of you on my left, one of you on my right. And Chris, would you be able to turn my mic off for me, please? Off, yeah, sorry. Put it back on again. Okay, so we've just established that I've spoken to Grace on my left and to Ben on my right, and that they could hear exactly what I was saying. I don't know whether any of you could, but they could definitely hear what I was saying. And Grace, what can you... Oh, actually, I don't know if we've got a mic, but maybe you can yell. What can you see?
People.
Ooh, and what can you see?
People.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That's you done. Thank you to my glamorous assistants. A round of applause, please. So through that little exercise, we've established that to sit either side of a king... for me, Grace and Ben could hear everything that was going on, and that they could see everything that was going on. And not only that, all of you could hopefully see them as well. So therefore, if I was a king, then you would be able to see that both Grace and Ben were important next to me. For James and John, the people around them would have seen that they were sat next to the most important and the most influential figure in the land. Now, if we understand this in the context, James and John are seeking a very human prize for following Jesus. To give them credit, they obviously acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and as King above all the rulers of the time. However, they understand his kingship within a very human and earthly context. James and John need assurance that their work and service will be rewarded by having a high status, and that this high status would be recognised for others to see. So to put it bluntly, and possibly a little bit harshly, they are asking for power, status, and glory. But we know that Jesus was no ordinary king. Jesus wasn't a king who barked orders, and he wasn't a king who had a palace full of underpaid servants, and he certainly wasn't a king who chose two specially chosen individuals to sit either side of him on comfy little mini thrones. No, he was a king who, up until this point, he'd physically healed people. He'd made blind people see. He'd made deaf people hear. He had cast out demons. He had fed 5,000, and he'd fed the 4,000. Along with all of this, he had spent 2.5 years teaching his disciples, including James and John, and physically showing and demonstrating to them what discipleship is all about. And yet still, James and John completely missed the point. They still want power, status, and glory. And whilst I'm at risk of making maybe a bit of a sweeping statement here, it seems that for me, every part of Jesus' ministry and kingship up until this point could be described in one word, and that word is serving. And this is what Jesus has to explain to them again in the concluding verses of the passage. I think we've got it on the screen, that Jesus says, "And whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant." But more of that in just a moment. Now, we are going to introduce a fun little acrostic, because I come from a family of teachers. So, what is serving? Serving is giving your all down the left-hand side. And so serving is attending, listening, and loving. So just as Jesus attended to so many people on his time during his time on earth, we must be aware of what other people need and have a heart which seeks to give, regardless of whether or not we might get something back from them. Therefore, giving is selfless, not selfish. Serving is about giving, not getting, and it's about attending to other people's needs. So if we refer back to our little acrostic, we've got A for attending, and L is for listening. I recently spent 3 weeks on placement doing a community project in Swindon, and before going, I honestly didn't really have a clue about what I was going to be doing, which was probably slightly infuriating for my lovely parents, who had let me run off with their car for 3 weeks. But in truth, I didn't really know what I was going to be doing and in what ways I was going to be asked to serve. But I still thought, right, I'm going into a community where there are so many families who are struggling with all kinds of things that they're experiencing, sort of financial, spiritual, emotional, physical, mental health issues. And therefore, there must be a meaningful way that I can help them. But to cut a very long story short, when I came to the end of what had been quite a tricky first week, I was finding it hard to find some way that I had served the community. And after a while, I came to the conclusion that genuinely, probably the most significant thing I'd done that week was to have stood ironing for an afternoon for a single mother of four who was finding times a little bit tough. Now, for me, who borrowed Rachel Plush, now Stillwell Stage's iron for my first year of uni, and in the entire year used it all at once, doing someone else's ironing for them didn't really feel like a massive deal. And it certainly didn't really feel like my idea of serving in a meaningful way. Through those weeks, however, I learned that the project was ultimately about listening about the needs of the community, and that was how it was started. The mother of the family who began it basically felt God say to her that he would show her how to serve the community through the community, so therefore she needed to listen to them. And whether that was to have somebody ask whether there was a toddler group or a youth club or a church, or whether that was to have somebody who was really struggling to keep on top of their ironing at home. Their call to serve came in many different ways, but it ultimately came from listening. So serving means following what God wants for us through the ways he tells us to, even if they're not necessarily the ways that we first think they could be. So we've learnt that serving means attending to someone else's needs, and we've just learnt that. It means listening to their needs. And finally, the final L in our wonderful acrostic is L for loving. And possibly the hardest thing to do is to serve people wholeheartedly without seeing yourself as a really good person for doing it. I wonder whether I could challenge you with a question. Can we say that we always serve purely out of love and with absolutely no self-interest? James and John want to be seen to be the best. We saw earlier on that to sit on either side of a king would mean that everybody would be able to see that they were chosen. Therefore, just as everyone could see Grace and Ben, everyone would be able to see James and John. James and John wanted recognition. We've looked at how Jesus calls us to serve through attending to people's needs and to listening to them through love, and not because we might get recognition for it. And that idea of recognition can mean both something physical in return, like a smartie, but it can also be that feeling of satisfaction. Some of you might be familiar with the TV show Friends, and my favourite character is Phoebe, and Phoebe has a little phrase that she says a lot, which is like, yay me! And so, to put it into the context of now, maybe I would be like, ah, I just bought my mother some flowers, yay me! Or, I just helped my sister with her homework, yay me! So serving in a loving way means taking away that yay me, look at how good I am, aspect of helping people, which can sometimes be really hard. A guy called Kevin DeYoung has written a book called Crazy Busy, and one of the chapters in it examines the impact that our own pride can have on our need to do stuff. It's a really good book, I would really recommend it. He's really kind of got a really blunt way of putting across some home truths, which probably are very true. He concludes the chapter by writing a simple statement, which is, feed people, not your pride. Feed people, not your pride. So the essence of serving means that we don't seek recognition or position or self-righteousness, but that we serve out of love. If we can serve out of love and genuine care and concern for others, not for our own satisfaction or to big ourselves up, then I think that, however hard it is, that's serving in the way that Jesus asks. So serving doesn't mean I want it all. It means I'm going to give my all. And I'm going to give my all through attending to others and through listening to others and through loving others.